As we meet around the table this morning, I've got a couple thoughts I'd like to share with you. I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. This is might be a little bit of a different communion scripture, but I think I can tie it all together for you. Paul was writing this to refute the Judaizers who taught that the Gentile believers must obey the Jewish law in order to be saved, and to call Christians to faith and freedom in Christ. So the question I want to ask this morning is, are we free? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has captured all power and authority over life and death. He has broken the chains of sin and all the subsequent realities. And everywhere he is Lord. The chain-breaking, life-freeing authority. All those in him no longer have to be ruled or enslaved by their own fear and failure. They no longer have to be ruled by anyone's expectations or approval. Those who are bound by God don't have to be bound by anything else. In his freedom, we find God's greatest glory and our greatest happiness. The freedom that is in Christ never kills our joy, but reveals our joy. This freedom is the most profoundly realized when we give everything second place to our commitment to God. There, and only there, is true and everlasting freedom. So we meet around the table this morning. Let's remember that, and this is the part that is the hardest for me to understand, or to believe, or to fathom, is that even before I was born, God knew where I was going to be at, what I was going to be doing, knew that each one of us needed a Savior. He doesn't want us to forget that, and that's why we meet around this table every first day of the week, because I know especially when things are comfortable, I have a way of forgetting and maybe thinking that maybe I'm something special. And that we are to him, but it's not by our own doing. It's by his grace and his mercy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do again thank you for this time that we set aside each first day of the week to come together to worship you, sing songs, offer our tithes and offerings, and Father, hear your word proclaim, but most importantly, come together around this table to commune with you. Father, just help each one of us to realize that only through your grace and mercy and your love, your compassion for us, that we can do the things that we do. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give to us each day. And Father, thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's through him we might have salvation. And these things I pray in his name. Amen.
It's so as you are. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. For the next few weeks, I'm not going to be in a series of sermons. I'm just going to be preaching some different sermons. And today, my sermon title is called, Who's in Charge? If you want to follow along, there's an outline in your bulletin. I know that picture draws great intrigue. And what we're going to be talking about, I appreciate Morgan Modlin for that picture. Pretty good, wasn't it? All right. But anyway, I will tell you next week, it says I'm going to be preaching on mature faith, but I've actually changed my mind since I printed these off to switch things around a little bit. I thought next week, since we were having the Thanksgiving dinner and we might have guests here, that I would preach my sermon on Thanksgiving or giving thanks, and then the following week we'll preach on mature faith. But anyway, the reason why I called this Who's in Charge is because I wanted to talk about three things that we base our lives on a lot. Our feelings, our emotions, and our attitudes. Those are three areas of our lives that affect all of us. These things probably in some ways dictate where we go, what we do, how we treat people, how we act, how we see the world. Sometimes they even dictate how we see God, depending on what our feelings are at the time or our emotional state or our attitude. So these three areas affect a lot of things. And unfortunately, a lot of people live their lives being controlled by their feelings or being controlled by their emotions or being controlled by their attitude. So that begs the question that I ask with the title is, who's in charge? And I say that because you want to know who's in charge of you. Who's in charge of your attitude and your emotions and your feelings? And it should be you. We should be in charge and have our attitudes in check and our emotions in check and our feelings in check. However, a lot of people live a life with those areas of their life really in charge of them instead of them in charge of them. if that makes sense. And ultimately, if you're a Christian or you want to be a Christian, one of the things that we need to learn to do as Christians when we surrender our lives to God is we need to learn to give Him control of our lives. And as God guides and controls our lives, God, through His Word and through His Holy Spirit and through His church and through prayer and through various avenues, me and you can learn how to control our emotions and control our feelings and control our attitude in a sense. Now, feelings are not a bad thing necessarily. Emotions are not a bad thing and attitudes are not a bad thing. Obviously, a person can have a good attitude and a bad attitude, a positive attitude and a negative attitude. And certainly, there's a time and place for feelings. There's times for us to feel sad and to feel glad and to feel happy and to feel mad. Feelings are appropriate at appropriate times and in appropriate ways. In the same way with emotions. There's times where emotion says something and means something. It's obviously not something necessarily wrong when people cry at a wedding or cry at a funeral or have some type of emotion based on something that goes on. We obviously, when we go to the football games, we see a lot of emotion. I got to see Cody over there all wound up last week. He coaches with emotion and feeling, and that's something that I learned as I played sports. Your coaches want you to play with passion and show feeling and emotion out there. And I think God expects the same of us. I mean, God wants us to live a life with passion and with feeling and emotion. But we can't let our feelings and emotions and our attitude dictate us, because there are people who become Christians based on their feelings. What I mean is they get this feeling that, oh, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell, so I need to get saved. There are people who become Christians based on their emotions. Have someone manipulate them or talk to them or play on their emotions. And so they might make a decision to get saved based on some type of feeling of worry or anxiety or something. And sometimes people can even do it with the wrong attitude. I met a guy one time who his wife had left him for another man, and he thought if he started going to church and became a Christian that he would save his marriage and he'd get his wife back, and that didn't happen. So sometimes people can do things for a lot of reasons. But I want to spend a little bit of time talking about feelings and emotions and attitude today so that me and you can understand how we can use these things in the right way and how we can get control of them. You know, I read a really good book, and I don't even have it anymore because I let somebody borrow it and give it back, but the name of the book was Change Your Mind and Your Life Will Follow. And it was a great little book. I wouldn't necessarily call it a Christian book, though it was wrote by a Christian lady. I think she was a counselor or psychiatrist or psychologist or something like that. But it's a great little book because it really talked about how we create a lot of things in our mind, and if we would simply change our mind, how we look at things, that we can change our lives. Now, I believe in taking that a step further, even though I think we do create a lot of things in our mind which play on our emotions and feelings and attitudes. I think as Christians that if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and we surrender our lives to God in a way that He will help us work on these areas of our lives so that we have better control of them and don't make decisions or choices based on our feelings or emotions or our attitudes. But I believe God created us to be feeling and be emotional and to have these attitudes as part of our personality. But we can all look at situations where we've said something or did something to hurt someone, or we've had our feelings hurt, we've lost our tempers, we've been disrespectful to other people, we've made poor decisions simply on our emotions or bad attitudes at the time. And so I think all of us have been guilty of that. I know I have, when we let our emotions or our feelings or attitude get the best of us. But what can we do to work on these things in our life so that we are living a life that honors God and lives a life that is healthy spiritually and physically and otherwise? I believe the first thing we need to do is not let our feelings control us. Don't let your feelings control you. And I know that's easier said than done, because I believe you know as well as I do, anything you want to do in life, anything you want to be good at, anything you want to become better at, become an expert in, or succeed in, it takes work. Nothing in life comes easy that's worth having, I believe. Now, I know we see people who are natural athletes or can naturally sing or... So we need to kind of realize that you may think, well, I've been that way for years. I've always been someone that was led by my feelings. Well, we all are capable of change if we allow God to help us. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to be sharing a couple different scriptures with you today. This one's beginning in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is Paul addressing the Roman Christians, and I'm reading out of the New King James this week. It says, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in the perfect will of God. Now, some of you are familiar with this verse. We use it a lot. This is Paul telling us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. In other words, as Christians, we don't need to act like the world. We don't need to be like the world. We need to be different. And Paul says how we are different than the world is when we transform our minds. Or we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transform means to change, to be different. And if me and you want to transform our feelings and take back control of them, then it all begins in renewing our mind. Paul says in your mind, there's where you will be able to tell the difference between what's good and acceptable, what's the will of God and what's not the will of God, what's godly and what's worldly, and what's good and bad and all those different things. But it takes, it's a mindset. And we have to realize that we shouldn't base all of our decisions or choices on our feelings at the time. Now, if we could be brutally honest this morning, how many of us would go to work or go to school or sometimes come to church if we based it on how we felt? Now, as much as I love coming to church, there's sometimes you wake up and you're like, ugh, I don't really feel like getting out of bed this morning. Y'all, am I the only one that feels like I'm only a bad Christian this morning? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, even though you might enjoy your jobs, your coworkers, there's some days you're like, I just don't feel like going to work. There's other things you'd rather be doing. It's nasty outside. You want to stay in bed. Today would have been a good day to stay in your pajamas and drink coffee and watch Netflix or movies or something. Sometimes it's beautiful outside. You're like, oh, I don't want to be in work all day. I want to go do something else. We all have those feelings. However, most people don't allow their feelings to dictate that, because if that was the case, you'd be missing a lot of work and missing a lot of school and missing a lot of church. You'd be missing a lot of things if you base it on your feelings. But it's not just choices like that. There's a lot of times that many of us, there's times where I know, and you probably don't want to admit this, but there's times where some of you all that are married probably don't feel like being married that particular day because your spouse is getting on your nerves or you're mad about them for something. Some of you, how dare you, would probably feel like you don't really feel like being a parent that day because your kids are crazy and you want to give them up for adoption. There's times where you have fights with your best friends or people like that. And so even in our relationships, our feelings can get in there in the mix. I mean, how many times have we been said things in our feelings like, I'm so mad I could kill them, or this? You know, we say all kinds of things because of our feelings. But the truth is, we learn, hopefully we learn, or we need to learn, that feelings come and go. So feelings subside. And a lot of times our emotions can play into the feelings as well. But feelings are based on circumstances, just a lot like happiness. You know, that's why God wants us to be joyful, not happy. Because joy, we can have joy in the Lord even when our circumstances are not happy. But if you just base your life on being happy, if that's what you live for is being happy, then you're going to be unhappy probably more than you're happy, because happiness is based on circumstances. Well, our feelings are the same way. We get what we want, we have good feelings. We don't get what we want, we have bad feelings. And it's usually some type of selfish feeling that happens. Our feelings are based on our circumstances, on our situations. We don't get our way, we don't get what we want, we're angry, we're upset. We get what we want, then we're happy. But we have to understand, number one, that feelings, like I said, subside and are based on condition, but also feelings aren't always accurate. We can feel a certain way and it might not be accurate. How many times have you felt like someone was ignoring you and they really weren't? You just had that insecurity, or you had some other type of guilty feeling or some type of something against that person and they weren't ignoring you, you just created it all in your head. And those type of things happen more than we probably care to admit. But here's the thing about feelings. If you live your life based on your feelings and how you feel and your circumstance, your situation, you're going to live a very miserable life. You're going to make other people miserable. You're going to live a life of regrets. And you're going to isolate yourself from people because people don't want to be around somebody like that. The people you see in your lives that constantly are going through one relationship after another and always changing friends and changing things is because they can't get along with people or they can't be happy at different places. And a lot of that is probably, if you go back to the root of the problem, is based on their feelings being out of control. They're making decisions based on their feelings. And so what we need to learn to do is put our feelings in context and ask God to help us control those feelings. And that happens from what Paul said in Romans 12 by us. If we want to transform the way we feel, then we need to renew our minds daily in God's Word and in prayer and ask God to help us put our feelings in check. And we need to ask ourselves when we have certain feelings, am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling this way? Is this a natural feeling? Am I feeling this way because I'm mad at somebody? Am I feeling this way because of this or because of that? Sometimes you feel that way because you didn't get enough sleep. Sometimes you feel that way because of some other thing. But feelings are going to happen, and we need to learn to keep them in the right place so that we don't allow them to control our lives. Let God help you control your feelings. Ask God to help you. Go to God daily and renew your mind. So many things, these feelings and emotions, and I'm talking about a lot of it's just in our mind because we don't give our we want to give our heart over to God, but we don't want to give our mind over to God. The second thing that's tied to feelings is emotions. And so I would encourage you not only to let your feelings, don't let your feelings control you, allow God to be in control, but don't let your emotions guide you. Too many people live their life based on their emotions. They allow their emotions to dictate things, and they live in an unstable, emotionally unstable life because of that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Again, this is Paul addressing an issue in the Corinthian church. But he says this to the Corinthians. He says, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now Paul makes a couple statements here that I want us to focus on. First of all, he's telling everybody, don't lose heart because, you know, yeah, guess what? We're all getting older. We're all going to die, basically is what he's saying. He said, you know, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. So outwardly we might be aging. We may be putting on a few extra pounds. We might be getting a little gray. We might be losing hair. We might be growing hair places we didn't want to have hair. I mean, we got all kinds of things going on. Arthritis, varicose veins, you name it. I'm tempting you right now with your feelings and emotions. I'm trying to depress you. But he's saying, though outwardly we're wasting away, this body's temporary, inwardly we should be being renewed day by day. What that means is the more time we spend as part of the body of Christ, the more time we spend in His Word and in prayer and talking to God, we should be being built up and growing stronger. So spiritually, we have an opposite effect that we do physically. But he goes on to tell us that everything that happens in this temporary life, he calls it light and momentary. And we might say, well, that's easy for Paul to say. He hasn't been through what I've been through or dealt with what I've been through. It might be light. But realistically, in the bigger picture of eternity, whatever we face in this life is light and momentary because this world is just temporary. It might seem like this life's taking forever to some people, and it might be speeding up. I think it's speeding up the older I get. But sometimes when we're going through bad times or hard times or difficult times, we think it's taking forever. But the point what he's trying to make is whatever it is, is. It's light and momentary. But he says whatever troubles we're having in this life is achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. In other words, me and you need to see the bigger picture that, hey, we got a Savior who died for us, provided salvation. We have eternity in heaven with God for all eternity. So, hey, whatever's happening here is temporary. It's not going to last. It's just getting me to where I ultimately need to go. In other words, we need to be living for that eternity and not this life. But he says light and momentary. But one other thing he says in verse 18, he says, fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And that's what most of us do. Most people are, they just focus on whatever's in front of them. And he's saying we need to focus on something that you don't see. Well, that's God. We need to focus on God, because if we focus on that, then guess what happens here? Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's all about our focus. If we're focusing on this life and its problems, we're focusing on the temporary, we're focusing on the light, we're focusing on the momentary. However, if we look at the big picture and we focus on God, it's going to take our eyes off the temporary problems in this world. It's going to take our focus off of the things going on here. And it's going to give us a whole different perspective. We're going to focus on something that's permanent, everlasting, eternal. And the reason why I use this scripture to talk about emotions is because emotions are a very temporary thing. When you make very emotional decisions, you're making very irrational decisions, because sometimes if you give yourself a moment to calm down, you give yourself a moment of clarity, you give yourself time to think, and you can ask my wife, I do none of those things, so I'm preaching to myself right now. When you don't do those things, you're not going to make good decisions when you're allowing your emotions to make the decisions for you. And some of us know people who are very emotional people. They can't talk without crying. They can't talk without being loud or getting excited or hyper. They're the type of person that's like Eeyore, everything depresses them. Or they're like the Incredible Hulk, everything makes them mad and they get angry and blow up. And those are people whose emotions are out of whack, out of order. It's because they're allowing their emotions to control them. And I'm not saying this stuff today to challenge you, because it's easy. It's difficult to control your feelings. It's difficult to get your emotions in check. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes discipline. But if I remember right, Scripture tells us that we need to be disciplined, because we're disciples. And we need to be disciplined. We need to grow in our faith. We need to grow in our knowledge of God's Word and understanding of His will. We need to grow in wisdom. We need to grow in all of these things, because guess what? The more of God you have in your life, the more you allow Him access to your life, the more your emotions and feelings and attitude and all these things are going to be in line with God. But if we go through life based on our emotions and allowing our lives to make these decisions and choices every day, we're going to make a lot of bad decisions and choices in our life, and then we're going to be left with a lot of consequences and a lot of regret for the things we've done. And maybe you've been there. We make emotional purchases. We buy stuff sometimes we can't afford. We lose our temper and we get in a fight or argument with somebody. We start crying and throwing a temper tantrum to get our way, what we want. We get mad and say or do hurtful things to ourselves or others. And you know, this pattern goes on and on in our lives in a variety of ways when we don't learn to control our emotions. Now, I know there are certain people, and you've been this, we know people who are, we'll say, you know, that person's quick-tempered, or that person gets mad easy, or this person is an emotional wreck or whatever. But I did learn a little bit of information. If you think everybody around you is crazy, you're probably the crazy one. Just to keep that in mind. Or if you think everybody around here is psychic, nah, it's probably you. but all joking aside, people get in those type of things because their emotions are not in check. And it's important for us to get our emotions in check. So I believe what Paul is saying here through all this is, you know, we've got to see the big picture. We've got to stop letting our emotions dictate how we act and where we go and how we treat people. We need to put those emotions in check and make decisions based on truth and based on honesty and based on being rational decisions. You know, instead of reacting to things, we should respond to things and do those type of things. And again, that's very difficult. It's a work in progress. But I believe we can get control of these emotions with God's help. Because our emotions, now when they're all over the place, it's going to weigh us down, it's going to tear us down, it's going to destroy us. It destroys a lot of people's faith when their emotions are all over the place. So that not only do we need to renew our minds daily, But we also need to have this perspective of temporary versus eternal, that the things in this world are not going to last, and so we shouldn't get our emotions sucked into them and get trapped into making inappropriate or unhealthy emotional decisions. But we want to make healthy and appropriate, we want to have healthy and appropriate emotions. I mean, the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything, and I believe there is a time for appropriate emotions. There's certainly a time to laugh and a time to cry, a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time for joy. There's certainly appropriate times for that. I mean, we can look at scripture and see Jesus had those type of feelings and type of emotions at different times. I'll talk about them more in a minute. But I want to encourage you to allow God to guide you and let the Holy Spirit and His Word be a guide to keep your emotions in check. Now, we've talked about getting our feelings under control, getting our emotions under control. And the third thing is we need to not let our attitude destroy us. There's probably nothing worse to work with than a bad attitude. Some of you who teach, some of you who coach understand how difficult it is to work with a student who has such a bad attitude. They don't want to learn. They don't want to change. We know what it's like to deal with maybe with family members who have problems or have issues and they refuse to change because they have a bad or negative attitude, even though we've tried to help them or you've tried to help them. But look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. He says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul is telling us, hey, everything that you see written, and I'm sure he's talking about the Old Testament and some other things, those things were written to teach us, to give us an example. And we can endure because those people endured. We can learn from their lessons. We can learn through their experiences. And he says two things here that stick out to me. He says endurance and encouragement. And matter of fact, he says, "May the God who gives endurance and gives encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had." As Christians, our goal should be to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. You can go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to read there today, but you can go to Philippians chapter 2. And Paul tells the Philippians what type of attitude we should have like Jesus, and he gives some examples about Jesus. So you can go there on your off time and read that. But what I want us to focus on is we have a lot to do with our attitude. Again, attitudes and feelings or emotions are all the same. They're based on circumstances. They're based on situations. You know, we can have a bad attitude towards somebody we don't even know. We can have a bad attitude about going somewhere even though we don't even know all the circumstances or the situation. We can allow our negative attitude or selfish attitude or spiteful attitude or whatever it is. We can live a life blaming others and focusing on things and making our life miserable, all of it unnecessary, all because we had a bad attitude to begin with. But if me and you would allow God to give us endurance to get through tough times, if we would allow God to encourage us as we face these different things, I believe our attitude would begin to change. Because the only way our attitude is going to change is if our mindset changes and we allow God to change those things in our lives. As long as me and you keep trying to do things on our own, we're going to fail. 100% of the time, we're going to fail when we try to do things on our own. We don't have the power and strength and the wisdom like God does. God can help us change our feelings, change our emotions, and change our attitude. You know, God doesn't do anything by accident. Everything God does, everything He creates has meaning and value and purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't do things by accident. God is very detailed when it comes to these type of things. And so God didn't create me and you by accident. And God certainly didn't put us on this earth for us to be selfish or have bad attitudes or to be miserable. However, this world we live in is temporary. He didn't prepare us for this life. He prepared a place for us after this life. This place that we live in now is a temporary dwelling. This place is here to prepare us for eternity. So how we live every day matters as far as I'm concerned. I believe every day the choices we make, the decisions we make every day matter. And if we're making decisions based on bad attitudes and feelings that are all over the place and emotions that are not accurate, we're just piling on the regret and the negative consequences in our life based on those things. But I want us to understand individually that God created me and you with purpose. God created us for His pleasure and desires a relationship with us. Therefore, it's going to be kind of hard for God to have a relationship with us and find any pleasure in a relationship with us and in His creation when we continue to try to control things or have a bad attitude. And people have a bad attitude about God. People have a bad attitude about church. They have the wrong attitude. They have a selfish attitude. I mean, I don't know how many places I've been, and you've seen it too. People come in and think church is all about them. They think everything should be, we should sing the songs they want to sing, have the programs they want to sing. They should get all the credit and all the glory, and they should be in charge of it. I mean, you've seen things like that. But it's not just in the church. It's in the workplace. It's on the skeleton teams. You have these people who have these selfish attitudes or these wrong attitudes or these negative attitudes, and you know as well as I do, they affect the morale, they affect the positivity, they affect the health of any organization, whether it's the church or the football team or the band or the classroom or our families. And so it's difficult for anybody to have a healthy relationship with anyone who has a bad, negative, hateful, or toxic attitude. And so that's why we need to understand, and I know this is probably cliche, but when they say attitude is everything, and I believe it really is, because our attitude will affect probably, whatever our attitude is, will probably affect our emotions and our feelings as well. I put a quote there in your bulletin, and I don't know who to give credit to. The source I saw was unknown, but it said, attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching? And I think if we truly desire to be like Christ, we truly want to live for God, then we're going to have to change our attitude. We're going to have to treat people the way God would treat people. We're going to have to love people the way God would love people. We're going to have to handle bad situations with feelings and emotions and attitudes that honor God. That doesn't come easy. Now, I've certainly talked about all the negative things and bad things, how people act. But I can also, on the other hand, say I've seen people who've handled situations with dignity and with class. But more than that, they gave a godly example. They showed me how to mourn in tragedy. They showed me how to have faith in a bad situation. They showed me how to keep their feelings and emotions in check. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, I don't know how you do funerals or how you deal with death or how you handle those situations. And that doesn't mean it's easy for me. It's difficult to be in those situations. But I always say, you know, God has me here for this family and for this time, and it's not about me. And I'm, you know, I have to learn to. It doesn't mean I don't cry sometimes. I don't get depressed or hurt for other people. And you may know other situations like that. You know, people say, I don't know how you do this or how you do that. You don't realize it, but probably sometimes, but we're being a godly example to other people with how we handle things. Whether you see someone going through a divorce or going through some type of family problem, or you see someone who loses a job or whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether we win or lose or things go where they don't. We always are God's children and we represent God. So our feelings matter, our emotions matter, and our attitudes matter. We need to keep all those things in check. So as we close here, I want to ask you to think about your attitude. How does your attitude affect how you treat other people or how you are in situations? How you work with others, how you relate with others, how you deal with others? More importantly, how does your attitude affect your faith? Is your attitude keeping you from growing in your faith? Because people get like that sometimes. They think, oh, I go to church every Sunday. That's the wrong attitude to have. First of all, we get to go to church every Sunday. And second of all, we're here to worship God, and we're part of the church body. So we've got to have the right mindset and attitude just about church itself. Coming to church doesn't save you, doesn't make you a Christian if you're attending with the wrong attitude. And sometimes reading Scripture is the same way. Are you reading out of obligation, or, oh, I got to read through this week for class, or I've got to read my daily devotion, and you just read through it to say I read through it instead of really reading it and studying it and letting it speak to you? I've been guilty of that. So I can check it off my list, my to-do list of things I do. And that's the wrong attitude to have when it comes to reading Scripture. Sometimes prayer is the same way. But whatever it is, strive to have an attitude that's like Jesus. Me and you will never grow and mature and build a healthy relationship with God or other people when we have the wrong attitude. Jesus, we see his example throughout Scripture, through the Gospels. Jesus was loving. Jesus was caring. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was forgiving. Jesus showed grace and mercy. He helped others. He served others. He was humble. He had a servant's heart and a servant's attitude. Yet Jesus also stood up to the Pharisees and stood up to people and was honest with them. But Jesus wasn't always happy. Jesus showed emotion and feelings. Jesus had the same feelings that me and you do. Scripture tells us he was tempted just like we were in every way, but he did not sin. So he had those type of temptations. He was sad. We read in Scripture that he wept when Lazarus died. Even though he knew he was, you know, I always thought it was funny he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, so it wasn't like he was mourning his death. But what Jesus was more, I think he saw Mary and Martha and the others upset and crying, and I think that emotion, being human, got to him. And he hurt because those people were hurting. But Jesus showed us that emotion. Jesus showed us the feeling of anger. Remember when he went into the temple courts and started knocking over tables and running people out of their way because he was mad that they were ripping people off in there and making his house of prayer a den of thieves. Jesus showed emotion in the garden and on the cross. Remember in the garden it says he wept with drops of blood. He also prayed, God, if there's any way you can take this cup from me, please do, but let your will be done. So Jesus had a human emotion there. So if there's any other way you can save the world, now's the time. But he remained faithful, and even on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus showed an array of emotions and feelings and attitudes, yet he did not sin. He endured the cross. He dealt with his disciples. He dealt with the religious leaders. He dealt with the physical punishment, the spiritual things that he went through, even enduring the cross and remaining faithful. Jesus set us a mighty example of what it's like to have feelings and emotions and attitudes that were Christ-like. And I pray that me and you will do the same. So I encourage you to renew your mind daily, to keep your feelings under control. Always remember things are momentary and temporary and non-eternal on this earth. So maybe that will help keep your emotions in check. And as we continue to renew our minds daily, to transform our minds and our hearts, and we think about the difference between temporary and eternal, we'll also be encouraged to endure through our relationship with Christ, and He'll help us to have the right attitude. Believe me, if you have feelings that are wrong and emotions that are wrong and attitudes that are wrong, if you allow the Holy Spirit, if you listen for His voice, He will convict you. He will tell you you're wrong. You need to repent. And you need to change things. And so we need to be open to hear that voice in our lives. And then we can finally say, who's in charge? God. God's in charge. Let's offer our invitation now. We're going to sing our song of invitation. Page 330, Only Trust Him. And if anybody needs to respond to the invitation in any way, you can do so as we stand and as we sing.